It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where once again I am joined by Vishal.
Hey guys.
And we are here to wrap up the action of the weekend in the Premier League and of course look forward to the next weekend. It has been quite the weekend again, Vishal.
Great weekend of football, mostly.
Both in terms of, the results, and we'll obviously talk right at the top of the show about the big result, but we'll also painfully and unfortunately have to get our hands dirty in terms of the analysis of West Ham 3, Manchester United 1. A result that in hindsight does not surprise anybody, but again, before the game started, nobody would have thought that this would be the outcome, or more specifically, the way the game turned out. Nobody probably expected that. We'll find that out if you did. So let's dive right in to the big game, which was, of course, Chelsea 1, Liverpool 1. Quick description of the game. Terrific game of football, very high intensity. At Stamford Bridge, whenever Liverpool have travelled there, some way or the other, the games have always been quite tense, quite hectic, quite passionate, and quite intense. Chelsea, of course, took the lead through who else but Eden Hazard. And then they looked like adding more to their kitty, but Alisson Becker had other ideas. In the meantime, Liverpool looked like they could snatch a goal or two, could not quite get the finishing. We'll get to that in a second. And of course, just as it looked like they were running out of time and out of chances to keep their unbeaten record intact, in steps former Chelsea player Daniel Sturridge. And scores an absolute corker. His second in 4 days against the same opposition. But this time it helps Liverpool rescue something because it becomes 1-1 and the unbeaten record stays intact. But aside of the result, Vishal, this was clearly a tactical victory for Maurizio Sarri.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think in terms of tactics, if you were to break this down, I think now we know what Klopp and Liverpool are about over the past three seasons of what you've been in every conference. We know the high intensity, high pressure football that they like to play. And the one thing that Klopp is always okay with is the fact that they don't need to play possession-based football. They don't need to hold too much of the ball, because even when they have the ball, they are part of the kind of team that will push the ball forward in their first three or four passes and immediately get on the attack. They're not the kind of lateral passing or the ones who are making bad passes too often. But however, if you look at how Sarri set up this game, he almost intentionally said, let Liverpool have the ball. He said, listen, if they have our front, fantastic front three, we have our fantastic front three. We are going to do a little bit of their own game with them, where we're going to hit them on the counter, we're going to hit them through a bunch of quick and direct passes to Hazard and outlets using Jorginho and Kovacic. So there was a lot of conceding of possession from Chelsea to Liverpool, and this is where Liverpool's weakness really did come out, because if you look at this game, right, it was almost won and lost in midfield, because if you look at a man-to-man comparison, I think one of Liverpool's biggest problems came back to haunt them, where they did not have creativity to really lead them from midfield, because they had Henderson, Milner and Wijnaldum, who were honestly outclassed on the night, because they were up against the world-class midfielders in Kante, in Jorginho and Kovacic. And another stroke of genius within that is the fact that Kante, when I saw Kante being given a free role, I thought, okay, Sarri is really missing his cigarettes right now. But it's turning out to be a stroke of genius, because suddenly Kante is picking up the ball from multiple parts of the ground. He is not restricted to one player, not marking one player, because Kovacic himself is pretty capable in terms of marking players, in terms of making passes. And so Kante is doing a lot of dirty job across the field instead of just one specific part of the field. And if you look at Jorginho, he releases the ball so quickly and so early that Liverpool really did get caught out. And I think this is the first time in a long time that we saw Liverpool's wing-backs being eaten up by Hazard and Willian, where on the night were tremendous, and Chelsea itself on the night were tremendous. But however, credit to Liverpool, because Liverpool two seasons back would have possibly crumbled in a game like this and could have been far worse. But they actually did.
If you look at last season, there were games at Manchester City, there were games at Tottenham Hotspur, which exactly turned out this way.
Exactly. So because on paper they did lose the game, but they fought right to the end and they did score the goal and the substitutions were good as well. And most importantly, they created chances throughout the game. While Chelsea had the better chances, Liverpool and Shaqiri had a great chance. And then a couple of on-the-line clearances from Chelsea. Chelsea defense is something I think even John Green would be proud of, because their whole team are coming together really well. Now, it seems like the whole club is buying into the philosophy that Sarri is bringing on board. And most importantly, players like Hazard, Willian, Jorginho, all buy into this style of football, because this is the kind of football that they'd rather play instead of defensive style of football. So Chelsea really started the season from us, all of us going up, saying this might be a tough season for them and they might be caught out early by a team. And I honestly did expect Liverpool to be the first team to catch them out, but they've proven us wrong and now they're slowly getting the title of the dark horse for the season.
And astonishingly enough, SoccerSense, the entire panel has been known for its gentle hostility towards Chelsea, and the panel is now turning around and we are looking at that. How do we actually like this team? Well, they've got a likable manager, a decent set of likable players, and of course playing some football that is good to see.
Absolutely. It was a joy. I've never enjoyed watching Chelsea play the way they did. And like you said, it was a definite tactical victory for Sarri and his men. And even Klopp was not too sure. And if you look at that goal, even which Sarri scored as well, you needed a goal like that to win this game. I think that it didn't seem like there was another way to get past the Chelsea squad. So great result. I think this was one of the in a long, long time we are seeing such a competitive game between top teams instead of a free scoring crazy game. It was one of those games where you knew these are top teams who are going to fight to the end of the season, and it was honestly possibly one of the best games I've seen between top teams in England in our 3 to 4 years.
All right, and speaking of top teams battling it out in an intense game, Liverpool have a massive game coming up again, and that one is against Manchester City. Again, a huge game, because like you said last week, watching Liverpool versus Chelsea, it is Pep Guardiola who will be taking notes and smiling, looking at the weaknesses that game exposed for Liverpool. How do you see that one panning out this weekend?
It's going to be similar, because Man City are going to play position football, so that works very well in Liverpool's favour. Well, Liverpool can set up a counter, but I think again we've been saying this for a while, where Liverpool need to develop a plan, because if the top front three do not click in a specific game, they do not have midfielders who can really step up and cause magic. Because if you look at Man City's midfield, they can single-handedly score 4 or 5 goals against three, because they're putting aside Aguero or Gabriel Jesus. So you really need to figure out if Man City are going to dominate this game, and if your top three are not possibly in the top form right now, how can Liverpool one counter against Manchester City and make sure they can still beat them? I think if Liverpool really need to figure out their midfield in terms of what more can midfield add back to their team, because this is a great team, this is a great setup, they have great atmosphere, they have great chemistry, and it shows. But at some games, you will need somebody else other than your top three to step up. And while Sturridge has now become that option pretty often this season, but you still need somebody from midfield to step up massively. It could be Keita. I'm not sure anybody else other than Keita at this point is capable as such, because others are doing a great job in terms of protecting the back four. And but it's going to be a great game, like you said. Pep Guardiola would have been enough from a Chelsea point of view. I do think he's going to unleash Sane, he's going to unleash Aguero and Sterling against Liverpool. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be another tactical battle against each club. And this, I still think Man City playing to Liverpool's plan for counter-attacking football. Liverpool will look to hit them in speed. They will also look to hit them early. And if that happens, you can expect Liverpool to go crazy again, because we all know Liverpool are a confidence team. The minute they first goal, the next 3 years will come anyway.
Ask Arsenal. You don't have to go too far. This game again has the potential prospect of a classic. Back-to-back classics would be great for top of the table. But Vishal, we now shift our attention to the middle of the table. Because after this week's results, sitting at number 10 is Manchester United, who to be kind to them, had a very tepid outing against West Ham. But on a serious note, Vishal, this was a match that kind of highlighted everything that is going wrong with United at the moment.
Absolutely. So, some startling facts about United. United have covered the fifth poorest team in terms of distance covered in the season so far. And they are just behind, below the relegation teams who are fighting for relegation, where they are not even covering distance on the field. They are not making runs. They are not attacking. So, and all of it came to the fore against West Ham, where we knew something was way off after the derby defeat, and we spoke about it. And I think this was a perfect situation where you could see that Mourinho has lost the dressing room, where not one player was trying, not one player was really interested. And while it's sad, you do not know who to pull up anymore, by because while the manager has spoken his way and done all the damage in terms of all these throwing his players under the bus, and now it's come to a situation where players have seemed to pretty much resign to the fact that they don't want to play for this man. So the club is a mess, the management is a mess, and by management I just talking for Mourinho and his coaching staff, I mean the upper management is mess. Where I think United desperately need to get into a situation of getting a director of football and keeping Ed Woodward out of the day-to-day functioning of football, because this man does not really know how to run a football club. So he's great for the commercial aspect of the football club, but he's not great for the actual football functioning. So I think United really need to get into the form of getting a director of football who has been there, done that, and bringing. And Mourinho definitely must go. At this point, I don't even care if Pogba goes, because he seems to be the rotten apple, and if another manager comes in as well, he can still throw his tantrums. And as long as Mina Raiola is there, he's going to continue doing this nonsense. So I really don't mind the situation where both of them are shown the exit doors, but both of them at this point in time are dragging the club down with them.
And there is a clear shake-up that has become necessary. We will see if that comes up during the coming weeks or later or whenever it does. This is an interesting saga that we will be keeping an eye on and checking the pulse of. In the meantime, that's about all the time we have this week. You can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can subscribe to our podcast if you go to audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. Otherwise, you can subscribe to us on any of the other podcasting platforms that you use, either Pocket Cast or iTunes or even Google Podcast. That's it for this week, Vishal. Hopefully, another cracking game coming at the top of the table next week. And hopefully Manchester United do not continue to slip towards the second half of that table.
At this point, you should not do anything with that game. You should just see whatever happens and just take it and go.
Like you were saying, you have been strumming, ironically, a Liverpool band on your guitar.
Yep.
And just saying, let it be for now. So the struggles of a Man United fan. Here on Soccer Sense. Alright, that's all that we have. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
For a change, I'm going to say pray for Rafa. He deserves better.
See you guys next week.
Yep.